Well, today we are finishing up the third out of four sections, if you will, in our Quest 52 book written by Mark Moore. It's a year-long pursuit of Jesus. We're in chapter 39, which is the the concluding chapter. Sorry. Of the section called The Preaching of Jesus. And Jesus has had a lot to say. I mean, he has had a lot to say about a lot of things, but a lot of the topics that he talked about were pretty important. And of course, there was only 12 that were selected, but he talked about social justice, he talked about morality, money, religious duties, our salvation, evangelism. He talked about dealing with our doubts, his identity, and how we should connect to that, and even how we are to deal with prodigals that are in our life. So he had an amazing array of topics that he preached into, also giving a lot of expertise and a lot of understanding. His most famous sermon is called the Sermon on the Mount, and within the Sermon on the Mount, there's at least a dozen different topics right there. One of those topics is one that we're going to look at today, and it's a topic that actually affects all of us. The first time that Jesus did speak on this topic was in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And I'd like to just read that passage of Scripture real quick to you, just sort of as a little bit of a background. Matthew chapter 6, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, starting with verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So as you may have guessed, the topic that Jesus is preaching into today is the topic of worry or anxiety. And Jesus gives his own indictment on the source of worry in verse 30, because in verse 30 he basically says that why we are worried is we don't have enough faith. He talks about, oh, you of little faith, as kind of an indictment of all of those who are worried about their provisions, worried about what God is going to do. And then later he reminds the listeners in verse 32, don't you realize that your heavenly Father already knows what you need? And so it becomes yet a second indictment, apparently lack of faith and a lack of belief in the power and the provisions of God are two of the reasons why worry and anxiety are so much of a problem in our world and in our life. Verse 30, as I mentioned, just simply says, you of little faith, and then God knows what you need. So anxiety and worry are a big deal for Jesus, not only because he knows how it's going to affect us physically, but he also knows how it's going to affect us spiritually. He speaks to our level of faith and our understanding of what God knows about us and his problem or his power to handle our struggles and our issues. So anxiety is a big deal. And when Mark Moore wrote the book, Quest 52, he published it in 2021. Okay, you kind of know what was going on in 2021. It was sort of on the tail end of this weird thing that we call the COVID-19 pandemic. And he went to a website called the ADAA, the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. And at that time in 2021, or maybe probably 2020, he read some of their research. And some of their research said that in the last 20 years, so basically in the 2000s, the percentage of people who have an anxiety disorder rose 1,200%. That's a lot. That's a lot. In fact, at this point right now, 19.2% of Americans age 18 and over, that's a total of about 40 million Americans, will have some sort of an anxiety disorder this year. 40 million. That's a lot. And the problem is actually going down into the junior high and elementary ages at a skyrocketing rate. Anybody who is in any kind of a counseling profession is probably discovering that there are, even post-pandemic, there are still hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who are still afraid, still filled with anxiety about something that happened at least 3 years ago. It's a really big problem. Now, for those of you who might not know, anxiety disorder includes, and I'm just going to read this, it includes panic attacks. It includes agoraphobia. Agoraphobia is where you are afraid of your environment and you feel that it is unsafe and you can't escape it. Okay? Plus any other specific phobias, and there are hundreds of specific phobias. You know, fear of germs, fear of heights, fear of you name it, and then there's a fear of it. Fear of public speaking, fear of all kinds of things. Then there is the social anxiety. There is PTSD. There is OCD. There are separation anxieties, and the list can go on. But this is what we're talking about when we're talking about anxiety and when we're talking about worry. In fact, according to the ADAA, 1 in 3 people will have some sort of major anxiety disorder in their life. And I'm here to tell you, if you are one of those people that is suffering from some sort of anxiety disorder, there is no shame in that. If you need to find medical treatment, please do so. If you need to go to a counselor for some assistance, please do that. Because there are people out there who can help. Make the call that you need to make, because there are people out there who are ready to help. But I want you to know something. You're not alone. In fact, anxiety and worry is something that affects everybody. In Psychology Today magazine, I don't know if you've ever read anything in Psychology Magazine Today, or Psychology Today. Excuse me, but they say this. When talking about the cause of anxiety, they say the true cause of anxiety is being a human being with... The true cause of anxiety is being a human being gifted with the capacity to imagine a future. In other words, all of us. If you have any kind of imagination and you are a breathing human being, you are above ground still, you will have anxiety. Because we don't know the future, but we can imagine it. And if you have a really healthy imagination, you are going to have a healthy anxiety level about a lot of things that you possibly can't control. But you can imagine that, and so you worry about it. And it is an ongoing kind of a thing. Anxiety reflects uncertainty about real or imagined future circumstances, which is why anxiety is an everybody problem, not just a me problem. Stress, emotional trauma, financial concerns, physical conditions, phobias, all kinds of life circumstances impact our level of anxiety. And Jesus is concerned about that anxiety and worry. In the passage of Scripture that we read, Jesus specifically told us not to worry, and the Greek word that he used for worry is marmnao, which literally means do not be anxious. It appears 19 times in Scripture, in the New Testament, and it always describes the same thing. It describes anxieties, worries, and cares, and they fall into three main categories, and this is still true in our world today. Most anxieties probably fall into one of these three categories. The first is resources. 9 of the 19 times that the word marmnao is used, it's referring to those people who are worried or concerned about their provisions. You're worried about your food, you're worried about your drink, you're worried about your clothes, you're worried about where you're going to live, you're worried about your finances, you're worried about your provisions, your resources. Okay? 9 of the 19 times is talking about that. 2 of the 19 times, Jesus is speaking about do not worry about your reputation. Don't be anxious about the words that you need to say to other people. Don't be worried about how you're going to defend your faith in front of somebody else. The 2 times that it's used, Jesus is talking about don't be concerned or worried about when somebody brings you before the magistrates or before the rulers of the land, because God will give you the words that you need to say. So that's, people are worried about their resources, they're worried about their reputation. The last one is they're worried about their relationships. Jesus warns us that we need to be careful and not have anxiety about our relationships. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul uses the same word when he's talking about that in one of his letters. In fact, he even says, I wish that no one was married because you have family concerns when you're married, and those family concerns can supersede the call that God has given on you to take the gospel message everywhere. Now, he also admits, even though I wish none of you were married, I don't want you to burn in hell because of your lust. So it is better to be married. So he understands that there are family concerns, that there are relationship issues. And Paul, even though he wished for that, he understood that there are going to be times where our concerns for our relationships are just going to happen. But it's going to cause a problem. You see, worry and anxiety are a big issue in Scripture. According to Scripture, we are never to view worry or anxiety in a positive light. Now, that contradicts what is going on in our world, but the basic truth is that there is simply no reason to worry unless, of course, we doubt that God has the power to handle all of our situations. And that becomes a faith issue. Jesus even reminds us that faith, or that worry, does not do anything for us. It doesn't add a single hour to our life. There's literally nothing that we can do about the future. And so worrying about it doesn't change it. And so we need to kind of understand, though, that when we're talking about worry, we are not talking about the positive things that sometimes we dump into this category of worry. Last month, I was reading the Reader's Digest, you know, pretty close to the next gospel message, I guess. And they had an article in there about the positive side of anxiety. And basically what they were saying is anxiety heightens a bunch of our abilities to be motivated, to do good things, to get the job done. You know, there are some positives to anxiety. We can spot potential threats. We are better able to respond if a threat happens because we've thought about it or we've thought it through. It can help us to be more sympathetic to other people that have needs of similar types. And so they were saying, rather than always viewing worry and anxiety as being a negative, you need to see it as a positive also. And so I thought about that a little bit, and I realized the Bible doesn't discourage people from being vigilant. In fact, it tells us to be alert. It tells us to be vigilant. It tells us to be ready to give a defense of the gospel. It tells us to plan. It encourages us to take a look at things as they are, not as we think they might be. The problem is, though, that most of the time, unfortunately for too many people, anxiety leads us into a bad place. It leads us into some sort of a negativity, negative thoughts, negative self-talk, feelings of inadequacy, feelings of being overwhelmed, a pessimistic overlook, or outlook of life, behavioral paralysis, isolationism. We become irrational in our fears, we have broken relationships, and at some point, anxiety tends to rule our life to the point where we have problems with everybody else. That is where we find Jesus right now. In Luke chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 10. We have a story. It's an event that you probably are very familiar with. Jesus was in a situation where anxiety was ruling the day, and he had something to say about it. So let's just read this passage real quick. Luke 10, starting with verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Did you know that that passage of Scripture was in there? A lot of people did. A lot of people have read that a number of times. Even though there are a lot of people involved in this, there's really only three people that are mentioned. First of all, we have Martha. Martha is a busy woman. She really is. She is distracted by all the details. I mean, Jesus and his 12 apostles are coming to her house. When was the last time you threw a party for 13 people? Think Thanksgiving or Christmas, maybe. And you knew that there's food that has to be prepared. You have to make sure that you have enough. You have to make sure that you have enough resources and plates and napkins and there's just where's everybody going to sit? You know, where are they going to park their camels? I don't know. There's just all kinds of different circumstances. And so you're worried about all of this and you are filled with anxiety. You know, what if the apple pie doesn't turn out? And what if we don't have enough, leeks and onions? I don't know what they ate. But whatever it was, she was concerned about it and she was worried about it and she was making all kinds of preparations. And her anxiety caused her relationship with both her sister and her Lord to be in jeopardy. The second person that we have in this is Mary. And the Bible just simply says she is sitting at Jesus' feet, which in that culture was a social no-no. You don't have a woman sitting at the feet of a rabbi listening to his teachings. That just was socially unacceptable. The disciples, fine, not a problem. She could probably, it would be okay if she overheard, some things as she was helping to prepare. But she was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. And Jesus didn't have a problem. And Jesus is the third character that we have here. Mary is really trying to just absorb the fact that she was in the presence of Jesus. When it all comes to a head, Martha has had enough. She is sick and tired of being the only one to do all the work. No one is helping her. No one is coming to help me with all of this food that has to be made. Can you hear it in her voice? She is, I love this picture. She's angry. I am doing all of this all by myself. Nobody is helping me. Have you ever said that? Have you ever felt it? Sure you have. And you just get angrier and you get angrier and you get angrier. And so what does Martha do? Well, she doesn't go to Mary. She doesn't say, "Would you do your share of the work?" She probably wanted to, but she's got to be the hostess. So instead, she does a passive-aggressive thing and she goes to Jesus. And there's Mary sitting there, listening. And she goes to Jesus and she just simply says, "Make my sister work. Make her do her share. Make her do what she ought to know that she's supposed to do." And it just gets worse from there. Because first of all, she's mad at her sister, so there's a relationship broken there because of her anxiety, because of her worry, because of her distractions. So there's a broken relationship between she and her sister. And then it escalates because then she approaches Jesus and says, "Don't you care?" Wow. Wow. Here is Martha demanding that Jesus do things her way. And if he doesn't do things her way, he's saying, "You don't care about me." That takes a lot of nerve. Maybe the Jews would say chutzpah. Can you? Well, I guess maybe we can imagine it because we've probably done it. We've probably been one of those people that has been so distracted, and the person that we turn to try to help us find peace in our life is Jesus, and we say, "Jesus, you don't care for me because my life is so filled with anxiety and worry, and I've got this thing going on, and I've got that thing going on, and I've got that thing going on, and all of these things need to be planned, and they're all happening at the same time, and nobody is helping me, nobody is stepping up, everybody is abandoning me, I'm left to do this all by myself. God, don't you care for me?" And Jesus just says, "Martha, Martha." And when I read that, I just about started to cry. Because he could have easily have said, "Michael, Michael, you are so concerned about the stuff of this world. Maybe you need to be a little bit more like your sister. Because right now, your relationship to your sister and your relationship to me are on thin ice." That's a Minnesota phrase, by the way. You see, you are worried and you are upset about all kinds of things. But there is only one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen that. What do you suppose that one thing is that's needed? Think about it for a minute. It isn't food. Jesus can change water into wine. He can take a lunch and feed 5,000 people. The food isn't the problem. The provisions aren't the issue. Jesus can handle that. So what is the one thing that is needed? He doesn't need Martha to prepare food so that him and his disciples can have something to eat. He needs people to be in his presence. He needs people to believe in him and to trust that he can handle all of your needs. The problem is we don't really believe that. Martha apparently didn't really believe that, and she was one of Jesus' best friends. You are worried about a lot of things. Now, please don't misunderstand Jesus. He isn't saying that preparations should never be made. He isn't saying that we should never plan for things. He's just saying if you are allowing the stuff of this world to be more important than being in my presence and listening to me, we have a big problem here. Because all that the anxiety and the worry is going to do in your life, it's going to put a barrier between you and other people, and it's going to put a rift between you and me. You see, Jesus can provide the food. He can provide the resources. He said that in his Sermon on the Mount. He can do anything. He can provide healing. He can provide financial resources. He can do the stuff that you are worried about. If you are worried about your health, He can handle that. If you're worried about a trip, He can handle that. If you're worried about the phobias that you have, whether it's height or whatever, He can handle all of those things. Do you believe that He can handle those things? Now, some people might say, but what if He doesn't? That's where faith comes in. If He doesn't handle things the way you think He ought to, can you still be faithful with how He is handling things? You see, the issue is always an issue of faith. It's always an issue of, do you believe and do you pray, Lord, help my unbelief? Concerns in this life prevent a lot of people from having that kind of a relationship with Jesus where they truly, truly, truly have faith in their God. The issue hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 gives us a little bit of hope. He just simply says, do not be anxious about anything. There's one of those expansive words, okay? Anything. That means there is not a single thing in this world that you should be anxious about. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying it's the antidote. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, another expansive word, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer is always part of the antidote, except in Martha's case, when she was anxious and when she was when her relationship with her sister and her relationship with her God was on the rocks, the first thing that she does is not go to Him in prayer, not be in His presence, but she goes to God with demands. Make my sister help me. We can't do that. Because the starting place for all of us in dealing with anxiety is found in a relationship with Jesus, being in His presence. And our Lord is very compassionate. He just simply says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, I will give you rest. That's the antidote to anxiety. If you want rest, if you want peace, it has to come from the Lord. Because in this world you will have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world. There's so many promises in Scripture, but if you need extra help, if you need help, you know, with your anxiety levels and with your frustration levels and with your worry and all of those other things, and you need to seek a counselor or you need medicine or whatever, please, there's no shame in doing those things, but start your journey to wellness in the powerful arms of Jesus. Start your journey to wellness with faith that He can provide all that you need.